gospel today is from John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a preacher who came from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to, what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. How well do you see in the dark? No, really, how well do you see in the dark? Now, it might seem like an odd question to be asking this morning, especially since it's not really dark in here. And at first glance, I must admit that it is a strange question to be asking. If I were talking to a congregation of bats or raccoons or any other nocturnal animals, asking this question of how they are able to see in the dark would not be such an unusual question. But for us, it is somewhat unusual. But I ask you this question because it's an important one for us to consider given this morning's gospel lesson. How well do we see in the dark? It's a question that probes both our physical ability and, surprisingly, our spiritual capacity as well. How well do we see in the dark? Now, it's a question that probes our physical ability. How good is our vision when the lights around us dim and are turned down low? Now, I thought we would like dim the lights, but I wouldn't be able to see. But how well do we see? Are we able to see objects with crispness and definition, or do we only see fuzzy shadows and vague images? Do we squint, allowing things to come into focus, or are we satisfied and content with allowing things at a distance to remain blurred around the edges? It's also a question that probes our spiritual capacity as well. How well are we able to see spiritually in the dark? That spiritual darkness when things don't go the way that we expect. when we seem to have more questions than answers, when we are confronted with a loss or an illness that affects our very being, when things are closing in all around us, when we believe that we are facing our darkest hour, how well do we see in that darkness? Do we lose hope and faith, or do we find within that darkness our greatest strength and support? Do we allow others to reach out to us, or do we construct walls to keep others out? How well are we able to see in the dark? Seems one Sunday night at a church not too far from here, a pastor told his congregation that the church needed some extra money. And he asked the people to prayerfully consider giving just a little bit extra that night in the offering plate. The pastor said that whoever gave the most would be able to pick out 3 hymns. After the offering plate was passed, the pastor glanced down and noticed that someone had placed a $1,000 bill in the offering plate. The pastor was so excited that he immediately shared his joy with the congregation and said that he would personally like to thank the person who placed the money in the plate. A very quiet, elderly, saintly lady all the way in the back shyly raised her hand. And the pastor asked her to come to the front of the church. Slowly, she made her way up to the pastor. He told her how wonderful it was that she was able to see the need and was able to immediately give so much. In Thanksgiving, the pastor invited her to pick out her 3 well-deserved hymns. Her eyes brightened up, and then she squinted in the darkening shadows for a moment. Finally, she pointed to the 3 most handsome men gathered there that evening and said, "I'll take him, him, and him." The woman picked her most favorite hymns. I'm sorry if you've heard that one before or used that one before, but I couldn't resist. And I guess the offer still stands. Anyone who wants to put $1,000 in the offering plate, they can pick as many hymns as they can handle. How well do we see in the dark? How well do we see in the darkness that surrounds us? Some of us don't see very well at night, myself included. In fact, my own night vision isn't what it used to be, and I often find myself squinting a lot. Some of you don't drive at all in the evening, and some of us need powerful glasses and contacts in order to see things that are right in front of our eyes. Someone in the 8:30 service just had cataract surgery. She said, "I could see." Our night vision, our ability to see when the lights are at their lowest, is dependent on many factors. But as we are tossed and turned by this world, we learn that darkness, it's just not a time of day. It can also be a condition of our hearts as well, a spiritual kind of darkness. The Gospel of John tells us that it was evening when Nicodemus came to seek out Jesus. Our text tells us that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish religious leaders, and we suspect that he came during the night so as to not be seen by his colleagues. After all, Jesus was not very popular with the religious establishment of his day. The Jewish religious leaders were beginning to get nervous because of all the influence that Jesus was having upon the Jewish people. Nicodemus came in the shadows as not to be seen. But perhaps he also came because of a darkness or a gloominess that was lying upon his heart. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was a teacher sent from God. His Jewish faith allowed him to affirm that. But what he was unsure of was all the rumors that were circulating around about Jesus. Nicodemus was curious of just who else this Jesus might be and what this Jesus could do for him. Nicodemus was squinting through the darkness to see whom this Jesus was. Nicodemus knew that his encounter with Jesus would be able to shed some more light on his questions and his curiosity that was eating at him. So Nicodemus visits Jesus under the cover of night. And Nicodemus questions Jesus, and Jesus responds to his questions. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. No one can really see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Jesus' answer responds directly to Nicodemus' blindness. Nicodemus, however, takes Jesus' words very literally and misses the bigger picture that Jesus was trying to create for him. We find Nicodemus truly in the dark. What Nicodemus hears is necessary as a physical birth, but what Jesus was talking about was a spiritual birth. How can anyone be born after having grown old, he asks Nicodemus asks, can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? Nicodemus' vision was pretty limited. His ability to see is hampered by his own limited understanding of the necessities of faith. But we too ask the same kind of questions, especially when it comes to understanding our faith and the demands that Christ puts upon our lives. Our own ability to see is often hampered by our limited understanding of the necessities of faith. Take church membership as an example. Most of us gathered here have made a lifetime commitment to serve Christ through the church and to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. But let's stop and ask ourselves, when was the last time that we participated in all five areas? Now, you don't find anything in Scripture that lays out those specific demands, but the spirit of their intentions are there. A large portion of the New Testament is all about the life of the early church. But most of us blindly see our commitments to the church as a check-off list, rather than an ongoing commitment to serve Christ. Baptized? Yep. Confirmation and church membership? Yep, yep. Served on a committee or two? Yep, yep. Okay, I've done it all. I've done my part. Is that really a commitment? Or is that our history? Remember, Nicodemus asked the question, how can anyone be born after having grown old? And can anyone enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Supporting the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness is not a one-time over deal. Our commitment continues as long as we live on this earth. Serving Christ through the church, it's not an option. It's a mandate from Christ himself. And giving to the church, and I'm not just talking about financially, giving to the church is not something that we do if there's a little left over at the end of the week. Scripture tells us that our giving to the church and through the church is to be first. And if we are faithful, it needs to reflect our thanksgiving for what God has blessed us with. Those many things that God has given to us. Membership, then, is not an entitlement. It's not something that we can buy or is simply maintained on a piece of paper. Membership in the church is a reflection of our active participation and our active commitment. Serving Christ through the church is a spiritual decision. It's not a physical one. Anyone can sign on the dotted line, but it takes a faithful person surrounded by a faithful community to make a commitment and then live out that commitment. Like Nicodemus, our ability to see is often hampered by our own limited understanding of the necessities of our faith. How can anyone be born again after having been grown old? Is it possible to enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born? The answer to Nicodemus' question is no. What Jesus is talking about is not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth, a birth, a rebornness that will help us to see in times of spiritual darkness, a birth that will enable us to help keep our commitments, a birth that will help us to see, to really see the kingdom of God in our midst. a birth that assures us that we are never, ever alone, and that we're surrounded by a loving and supportive community of faith, a beam of light that shines into our darkness. How then do we participate in this birth? Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you that you must be born from above." This birth is a movement from darkness to light, a repentance, a turning around, a movement to re-examine the commitments that we have made, a movement of faith into action, a movement from death to new life. No one tells us what happened to Nicodemus after that night. But we do know that he reappears in Scripture at the end of Jesus' life when the light of Jesus' days were darkening. Scripture tells us that Nicodemus donated myrrh and aloes for Jesus' burial along with Joseph of Arimathea. He asked for the body of Jesus after the crucifixion to give him a decent burial. After that, what happened to him, only God knows. And only God knows for sure about us. We have been given the commandment that we must be born from above, that we must somehow be spiritually born in order to see the kingdom of God. Are we ready to make that kind of commitment? Are we willing to make that kind of risk? Most of us will not get the opportunity to put a $1,000 bill in the offering plate, and I was told that the 8:30 service, they don't make them anymore. So you'd have to write a check. Most of us will not have that opportunity, but each one of us have been given the opportunity of living in the light instead of the darkness. Each of us has a chance to sharpen our line of vision and to bring faithfulness into focus. And we've not been left alone in that journey. We've been given each other. We've been given the example of Christ. Thanks be to God.